Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
Yeah!
Free episode!
Yeah, we're having a party!
Free episodes for everyone!
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Fox Mulder is a maniac.
I fucked up
the title.
You simple bastard. On our free episode, you fuck up the title. Now they don't know what they're listening to.
Yeah, and we don't do two takes. Let me tell
you,
folks.
No, we don't.
Oh, we're riffing. It's like jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in the fucked up titles you don't say.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
That's where it is. That's where the mustard is.
I'm one of your hosts, David Bell.
I'm your other host, Tom Ryman.
Welcome to this free episode.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the show before, this is...
If you haven't heard the show before, fuck you.
Shut it off right now. We don't want you here. That's not how podcasts work. No, this is a show where we've been rewatching the X-Files through a new lens. We're looking at just how incredibly unhinged the character of Mulder actually is.
Right. He's totally bonkers and completely out of control.
Yes.
To dizzying degrees.
Yeah, he really needs to be stopped.
Yeah, somebody should stop him.
Probably
with a high-powered rifle.
Yeah. Somebody stop him is the quote.
Somebody stop me.
We're on fire right now, Tom.
Somebody turn me off. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
So
Sizzling.
We're up to we're well into season three now. This is like, God, I don't know how many episodes we've done. Like it, like
probably
at least
60, at least? I think at this point.
Yeah,
around there,
something like that.
Because there's roughly 20-ish episodes a season.
Yeah, so that's the math.
Mm-hmm. And
so
I'm glad we're really focused on this point.
Yeah, we're probably more in the 50s. At least 10.
Oh, at least 10. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
At least 10.
Yeah.
So we're up to season 3, episode 9, otherwise known as Nisei. The name probably doesn't spark your memory because it's not a memorable name.
It's a Japanese word.
According to Marina,
it has a few different translations, but in this episode, it probably means second generation.
Mm. Or man who jumps on train.
Or man who jumps on speeding train.
Yeah, this is a part one of a two-parter, and I think the most memorable thing about it is it's the alien autopsy episode. It's the episode where Mulder finds an alien autopsy tape, which we'll get to, and tracks down a train that he believes the autopsy was on, and part one ends with him jumping on the top of the train, mm-hmm. which is very dangerous.
With a cell phone in one hand.
Yeah, but not for long.
Didn't even put it in his pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a X-heavy episode. There's some sprinkles of Skinner, or the two parts are. It was actually, I'm holding here, our... the Trust No One, the official third season guide to the X-Files.
The holy text.
Yes. And it was apparently, according to this, conceived as one episode. And they realized they couldn't do it in one episode. So they,
what a bunch of maroons.
I know, right? It was a pretty logistically difficult episode for obvious reasons. They had to do a stunt where a man jumped on a train.
Mm-hmm.
They worked on it.
Another stunt where a man dives headfirst into the ocean from the deck of a ship.
Was that David Duchovny? I couldn't tell from the shot.
I sincerely doubt it.
Yeah. He did get to do
dangerous.
He did get to do a little of the train stunts. Like, they had a stuntman dropping off the bridge and he was cabled and he never lands on the train for that jump. And then they do, you can see it in the episode, they do a cut to Duchovny landing on the train on the top. And that's at least, that seems to be a train. Because there was concern about doing that. Like, if, you know, if Duchovny got run over by a train, that's pretty much it for the show.
Yeah, they'd have to do some serious rewrites.
Yeah, according to David Duchovny, he said, it was fun to jump on a train. Fun to jump off a train. It was something I hadn't done. Which, yeah, you can't argue with that.
The next sentence was, would you like to come up to my room and see my telescope?
Yeah.
It's such like a little boy. Like, oh, yeah. It's fun jumping on a train. It's fun jumping off a train. I've never jumped on a train before. You want to see my telescope?
Yeah.
You want to see my stamps?
Duchovny must have a stamp collection.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
He's got a stack of binders full of baseball cards.
Yeah. Here's a weird, the boxcar that he jumps on, or the one that the alien autopsy is on, the number is 82594, which is the date August 25th, 1994, otherwise known as the first time Chris Carter directed an episode. That's a weird ass reference.
Yeah, he's obsessed with numbers.
Yeah, and the date apparently that it shows up throughout the season, so we should keep a watchful eye for it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Like the I think Mulder's birthday is the same as Chris Carter's birthday, and like the production, his production company is his birthday.
Right.
Like 10/20 or something. I forget.
Something like that. They like numbers. Numbers are fun. People like numbers.
People are into numbers.
Yeah, why not? The
Agent Fox numbers.
Yeah. That's a whole different, more boring show.
He's just sitting there. He's an accountant.
Number cop.
42 minutes of him just hunched over a desk and a legal pad.
Yeah, just hunting them numbers. Get them numbers. These numbers don't add up, Scully.
To bring these numbers to justice to get these fugitive numbers.
This also is memorable because this aired around the same time as the Alien Autopsy video aired on Fox.
And yeah, they reference it, yeah.
Yeah, what's funny is apparently Fox scheduled a rerun of that the night after this ran, having no idea like that what this was about and that it referenced it. It was just a lucky coincidence. Those aliens were played by twin children. I think the boy was the autopsy alien, and the girl was the alien that they lead around.
Interesting.
It is interesting, mainly because the autopsy alien...
Doesn't need to be a person in a suit.
Yeah, you don't need someone in there.
Yeah, like, why? We see it for 1 second, and I just assumed it was a doll.
Here's my assumption. Mm-hmm. They got the girl for the alien, and she killed it as that alien. They were like, she's fucking great. And her brother was like, I want to be an alien. And so they were like, all right, well, fucking get on the table, kid.
Get on the table, kid.
She's so good as an alien that we had to give her brother something to do.
You find an alien like this once in a lifetime.
Yeah, alien acting, surprisingly tough. Really, yeah, really intense. They glued a bunch of shit to these kids, a bunch of prosthetics. Which is fun.
Yeah, if you're going to put a kid in a movie, you might as well glue a bunch of monster shit to their faces.
Yeah, why not? Give them something to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those kids get to grow, I assume grow up, and know that they were fucking the aliens that made Mulder jump on a goddamn train.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd probably
put that on their resume.
Yeah, I would. Lord knows I would.
Yeah, in 1995, I made Mulder jump on a train.
Yeah, I got dragged into a train by a bunch of... like Nazi scientists. It's a good role. It's a solid role.
Yeah. It's, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the episode. That's the making of. Do you have any overall thoughts about the episode before we dive in?
No, nothing really that doesn't fit firmly within our established categories.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Well, let's get into our established categories, starting with World's Luckiest Detective. This is just talking about Mulder as a detective, about... You know,
right. He's a pretty shitty detective, and really, The only cases he solves are by pure blind luck or by people just handing him the answers.
Yes, and that's how he gets cases too, including this one where
Mulder
buys an autopsy tape from a magazine.
From a magazine that just happens to be this dude who managed to record a video of like a vast government conspiracy, global government conspiracy.
Yeah, he got it off like the dark web or whatever.
He ordered it from a magazine.
Yeah, and he
for $29.95.
Yeah, but like the guy got it off the satellite or something.
Yeah, and got it off the satellite feed. Yeah,
and luckily that guy decided to go into selling the tape in magazines, which Mulder bought. I assume he buys every alien autopsy tape he sees advertised.
I don't see
in our
why
magazine.
He wouldn't. Yeah, because he talked in that. We'll get to it, but in that scene, he talks about like how you can tell this one is legit versus the dozens of others he's clearly watched.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, this some random dude happens to get his hands on the wildest piece of evidence in history.
Right.
And decides to sell it for $30 a pop in a magazine?
Yeah, and Mulder, of course, buys it.
And then Mulder just happens to buy it.
Also, Lord knows what magazine he bought it from. I mean, we kind of know what magazine
he
bought it from.
I know what magazine he bought it from. What's the name of it? Like, Busty British Women or something?
Oh, it's the same magazine that's in every single one.
We've seen it twice.
It's Hanky Panky, isn't it?
Hanky Panky, I think. Maybe. Maybe. It's a British porn magazine that they've used at least twice in the series.
Yeah. And this guy sold an alien autopsy tape in this magazine. Mulder, of course, picked it and sent in the money. Mm-hmm. Now
Mulder mailed a check to this man and waited for this video to come in the mail. We're bleeding a little bit into Mulder After Dark with that.
Well, okay. Well, no, I did have something here, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think what's important to think about is this is the 90s where, you mailed a check. You probably probably cut out the magazine thing. That's very silly of Mulder to do. But he mailed it. It probably took, I don't know, a couple days to get to the guy. He had to package the tape up, send it back to Mulder. We're talking about a week, week and a half, would you say? Maybe
usually,
a little less?
These magazine ads usually said 6 to 8 weeks back in the day.
So if it was in fact that, then they go right to his house.
Right. They track him down. They just happen to show up at his house moments after he's been executed by the Japanese government.
Yes, but and to think about the odds, because he's been selling these for apparently
at least two months.
Yeah.
So 2 months, we'll say.
Yeah, so he's been selling them for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mulder had to go through the process of getting the tape, and then he goes to the guy's house, like, literally seconds after he was shot in the head, and they chase the assassin. That is extreme luck. He could have been dead long before
they
got there.
Right, when they get there and they see his dead body, I assumed he'd been dead for a while, because the place kind of, like they point out that like the doors are boarded up.
Right.
And then Scully touches him and says he's still warm. I was like, what?
Yeah. And the guy is just running from the house like, oh, shit. Oh,
you're
shit.
Right. Like, he's still there.
Yeah. It's that's a hell of a thing. And then not only that, but it's an assassin who's carrying all his very important assassin conspiracy stuff.
Right.
Just
why
with
is he
him.
Carrying that?
Yeah,
he presumably went to this guy's house to murder him. So unless this guy also had all these images, which he doesn't, because the Japanese government is talking about that briefcase when Mulder creates an international incident, which we'll get to.
Yes.
That means he brought like all of his alien conspiracy evidence to the murder for some reason.
You know how all good assassins bring their briefcase to the murder?
Briefcase loaded with a global conspiracy
just
evidence.
Just have some luggage. You can't leave that shit in the car. No, not at the hotel. No, you gotta have that on you at all times.
Yeah, every assassination I go on, I always bring with me the microfilm that contains the true killers of JFK. Yeah,
exactly.
You don't leave home without that shit.
Yeah. So Mulder gets this. It has satellite pictures of ships and like lists of the Mutual UFO Network.
The hit list.
His
murder list.
It's all very convenient.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. and then the lone gunman happened to be able to identify the ship on sight when he takes them the satellite photographs and give him the detailed history of this ship, which is kind of their thing, their deus ex machina.
Yes, oh, for sure. And I, at first I was like, why did he bring it to, like, you know, the people he works for?
Yeah.
But, you know, he doesn't trust anybody. It's right there. It's right there in the credits. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's truth is out there. You get me. Yeah. I want to talk about Scully in this
right. She has a very, in this section, she has a very Silence of the Lambs moment where she just happens to knock on the door of the UFO abductees club and they all recognize her.
Yeah, well, she keeps running into people.
Yeah.
She's running into everybody. She recognizes the Japanese scientist as well. It's a fucking reunion.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a quick... Here's the thing. All right, she goes to the Mutual UFO Network because they're on the assassin list. They open the door and they're like, oh, we know you. We saw you on the UFO.
Yeah, we saw you with the aliens, you know.
Yeah, and they...
with the aliens and the Japanese Nazi doctor.
Yeah, and they tell her everything she needs to know. But, like, okay, if the aliens are just picking people up, what are the goddamn odds that Scully would run into them in space? She ran into these people in outer space, or I guess some Nazi doctor train. But it's just, my God, it's quite the coincidence for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's extremely lucky.
And then she recognizes the Japanese Nazi doctor on sight.
And she was like,
having only seen him during her, like, lost time where she has no memories. I have that memory, though.
They show the video, and she's like, oh, I know him. And I was like, seriously, Scully? You're just so popular today. Yeah. You fucking know all these people.
Getting humble brag.
Yeah. I know that guy. He put like, alien cancer in me.
You know, he ended up pumping me full of alien cancer.
Yeah.
You know.
That's really it for World's Luckiest Detective for me, but those are huge.
Yeah, that's all I had, but there's more. This episode has a lot of them in it. Like, well, not a lot of them, but like you said, they're three huge ones.
Yeah, these are some big goddamn coincidences. The series of events that happen, it's like they're being Truman Showed, you know? Like, I would suspect that I was being set up.
Right, I'd start looking for Ed Harris in the moon at this point. Yeah.
Because that's the most logical thing that's happening.
Right. Sometimes it's, you know, it's, man, I feel like I'm being Moon Harris'd right now.
Mm-hmm. The old Moon Harris.
The old Moon Harris.
That's how he gets you.
Mm-hmm. Is it time?
I think it's time.
Oh, man. Get out your scented candles. Get out your oil, your essential oils.
Mm-hmm. Get a snack. Mm-hmm. Sexy snack.
Yeah, a very
maybe some, I don't know, some Triscuits, some sensual Triscuits.
Yes, very scented. There's powerfully erotic Triscuits.
Yeah, the rosemary and olive oil. Like, those are Triscuits to fuck to right there.
Yeah, settle into a bathtub with maybe some rose petals in it.
Yeah,
with your sexy as fuck Triscuits.
Yeah,
and your scented candles.
Oh, perfect.
Because it's time for Mulder After Dark, you guys.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, crunching those Triscuits.
Lap that sax up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're in it. You're in the bone zone with us and Mulder.
So Scully walks into Mulder watching the alien autopsy video and is legitimately surprised he isn't watching porn.
Yes, she says, that's not your usual brand of entertainment.
Right. So he routinely is just in there watching porn.
Oh, well, you've seen it. It also, when he says, that's something that just came in the mail, I think that also prompts it, because you know he mail orders that porn.
Yeah, he has porn sent to his office at the FBI headquarters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. There's porn companies who are, like, doing the shipping, and they're like, does this say the FBI on it? And they're like, yeah, you'll get used to it. Yeah. I know you're new here. This guy
you know, spends a lot of money.
We regularly send pornography to this FBI agent. Oh, like, is he in, like the sex crimes division? They're like, no, not even close. He's just...
He's in, like, the Bigfoot division or some shit? I don't know. Just...
We honestly, we didn't get the right address for the first couple times because it just hit, the name he gives is the X-Files, just written on the address.
Yeah, something to do with, I don't know, leprechauns or something. Just mail out this busty sailor's tape.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He and you think about it, it goes through the mailroom. Like someone's delivering.
There is there is a stack of complaints about Mulder having porn sent to the office and watching porn in the office.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's probably just interns and shit who have to go down there.
Yeah.
I also think, if not porn, it's probably like someone getting murdered on tape and he's just like, hey, take a look at this. Like, that's everything. His reply every time someone walks in he's watching something is, hey, take a look at this. And I'm sure he does
it in the same mild tone of voice no matter what is on that screen.
Yeah, and that's what I think is he probably does that with the porn too, where he's like, Scully, take a look at this.
Hey,
three chicks and a duck. It's fucking crazy. You're gonna want to see this, Scully.
It's called Quack Attack.
Quack Attack.
Don't worry, the duck is consenting.
Yeah. She's like, is this an X-File? I don't know yet.
Possibly.
Possibly. We'll see what happens with that duck.
See what happens to that duck.
Yeah, it's, my God, this tape. And then Scully rightfully points out that it's like, you can't see anything in the tape.
And then Mulder specifically states that that's why he thinks it's legitimate.
Yes.
It's he like, says, no, because you see the one you see on Fox, they show you too much. This one hardly shows you anything. It's like, yeah, there's the proof.
Yeah, he says, where's the alien? What's so intriguing to me is the striking lack of detail here. And it's like, yeah, or you're watching like a somebody's autopsy because you can't even really see that it's an alien.
Right. Like, they're just, you could just be watching some dudes doing an autopsy. You don't know what's on that table.
Yeah. He has no idea.
It sure seems to be an autopsy procedure. Right, but it could be a Saint Bernard. You don't know what's going on in there.
Right, and the reason he's so goddamn intrigued is because at the last minute it looks like people busted in.
Like a SWAT team busts in.
Right, which again, we don't know what this tape is. Like, mm-mm. We don't know what we're watching. It could be something horrific happening that's being stopped by the police.
Right.
Mulder doesn't know.
This could be a snuff film.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how many tapes he's vetted this way. He's gotten in the mail. He watched, and then he goes to their house.
Yeah.
And talks to them. Like, how many goddamn people have been like visited by Mulder and had to finally say like, look, okay, buddy, it's fake. It's fake. Get out of my living room. I didn't even let you in. You said, hi, I'm Agent Mulder. Could I just come in for a second?
Pushed your way inside.
Yeah.
That's how Mulder rolls.
Yeah, they get to the guy's house. The guy has the nickname Rat.
Yeah,
I believe so. Mulder uses the phrase "Hope nobody let the rat out" when they see that the door is open.
Right, they see the door has been busted in.
Yeah, it's just a great little Mulder line.
Yeah, there's a moment. First of all, when he's chasing the guy, when he's chasing the assassin down the street, he's really getting like actual drag from his gigantic Dracula cape.
Yes.
Like his huge billowing 90s suit and his enormous overcoat, it's just like, wow, it's like you're actually getting wind drag right now.
Yeah, I am willing to talk at any point about the amount of running Mulder does in this episode.
Yeah.
David Duchovny gets a workout in this.
He does. He also kind of runs like a goofus.
Yes.
I noticed it in the last episode when he's like, they're running through the forest in Oubliette. And Scully's running like a person who runs, and Mulder's running like a complete goofus.
Yeah. Well, we see.
Like his arms out to the side. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
He swims. He's a swimmer. We know this about him. He runs like he swims.
Yeah. Just flailing his limbs around.
Yeah. Mulder
I was leading into his gigantic Dracula cape was leading into this point where he catches up to the assassin, and the guy just beats the Christ out of him.
Mulder gets karate kicked into a trash can.
He does.
It is the funniest fucking thing.
It was the absolute last thing on his mind. Like, that guy could have turned into an alien in front of him, and Mulder would have been less surprised than this guy fucking karate kicking him in the chest.
He stumbles into the trash can.
It's the most undignified ass-whooping.
And it's one of many for him. Yeah.
Well, that's the point I was getting to, is he reveals that he has a gun in an ankle holster, and he pulls it out and he says, "I get tired of losing my gun."
Yeah.
Which means he gets owned so often, he's finally started carrying a second gun.
A second smaller gun. He's not even just getting owned, but he loses his gun apparently so much that he just, like, that's a problem, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. That's not a normal thing.
Like, in a season from now, he'll just be wearing, like, a bandolier of guns.
Yeah. That's like if someone... Yeah. It's like someone, like, carrying extra underwear all the time, being like, "I got tired of shitting my pants all the time." And it's like, wait, what?
I'm sorry?
This shouldn't be... Have you gone to someone about that?
You know, like when you're driving and just shit your pants? Yeah. No, I don't.
You don't do that? Yeah, everybody shits her. Yeah, Mulder's probably hanging out in the cafeteria like, "Yeah, you know how you're always losing your gun everywhere?" And they're like, "What?
Excuse me? Yeah. How many guns have you lost?" "Oh, I don't know, 5 or 6. Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God. He must have to get his gun replaced so goddamn much.
That's also like a serious problem. Yeah.
Like, where did you lose it? I don't know, in like a sewer? What were you doing in a sewer? There was like a worm man down there.
Some cave.
Yeah.
What were you doing in a cave? Oh, I was looking for the devil bear.
Yeah. The truth? I dropped my gun.
I dropped my gun in the Arctic Circle. What? Yeah, it was in a submarine with an alien. Excuse me.
In fairness, at least it's not never in situations where like a kid can find it. It is always somewhere where it's like in a nuclear reactor or something.
I dropped it in a volcano.
Yeah. Yeah, he has gone through so many firearms. Yeah. It hadn't even occurred to me, but like, of course, him on paper is a nightmare. The medical records and the amount of guns and equipment he loses. In this episode, he just leaves a car somewhere.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
He just parks his car near the bridge to the train, and then he jumps on the train, and then it's just like, well, we're never seeing that rental car again, that's for sure. Like, their insurance must go up so much with Mulder.
Right, like, on paper, he looks like a trickster god.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, what the... You're just a black hole consuming resources.
Yes. And getting nothing in return.
List of injuries is baffling.
Yeah.
You got your eyes fused shut by alien blood?
Yeah. And do you have any evidence or arrests? No. They couldn't get the alien. He left on a submarine. That's the thing. Spoilers for this series, or this series of episodes. I think he comes out empty-handed.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, the train explodes.
Yeah. This is going to end with a train exploding.
Yes. And we will cover that in great detail.
Yes, we will. He breaks into the shipyard. He goes to the shipyard, and the guy's like, "Oh, I can get you that information." And Mulder gets impatient. And then he just runs off. Yep.
He just is galloping through the shipyard.
He is. It's so funny because I don't know why he runs... He's like a dog who got out. He runs across the dock. They cut to him running over a bridge, onto a ship.
A comically long bridge.
Yeah,
sprinting across. And then he breaks into like a Navy ship.
Yeah, and the whole time he's at a jog, it's like he's lost. Like, it feels like he's lost, and he's just running everywhere. And he's a man in a suit, a tall man in a suit, just running around this dock. And he kind of ducks a little, like he thinks people can't see him.
Right, but he's an enormous man in a giant Dracula overcoat.
Yeah, and then he breaks into a fucking ship.
Yeah, and then I guess, like... It's either the shadow government or like Navy SEALs show up. So he almost gets killed by Navy SEALs and then dives headfirst off of the ship into the ocean.
Yeah, with his arms and legs out like a flying squirrel.
Right.
It's a
bad dive. Like, it's a bad dive.
It's the way they do is the SWAT gets called, and it's like it could be the shadow government, but then again, he just broke into a naval ship.
Yep.
Like, he smashed the window of the ship to get in. So, of course the SWAT is called on him. And he It's like a Benny Hill sketch where they go one way and he pops his little head up behind something else.
Barely, like, he's like thinks he's being stealth, but he's like 5 feet away from them. He dives in the water like 5 feet away from one of the guys. And then the next scene is later that night where they're scouring the harbor with searchlights looking for his ass.
Like, they really yada over that.
He has created an incident.
Yes. Because this thing, that guy must have heard him go into the water.
He must have, yeah.
What had to happen is he stayed under... It's like Nicolas Cage in the prison in fucking Face Off where they just cut away from him diving in the water because everybody knows they have no reasonable way to explain how he gets away.
Yeah.
It's that. Mulder dives into the water and then it cuts to another scene and then back and he's like under a bridge in the water.
Yeah, and then he climbs up and sees the UFO in the warehouse, and then...
Either that or he is so overcome with hypothermia that he thinks he sees one because he's been sitting in water, like, for hours.
Yeah, all afternoon.
Yeah, the sun is down.
They also cut away from that. Like, they're closing in on their harbor search behind him, and he still is like...
Yeah.
In classic Mulder fashion, all he cares about is seeing that UFO for like 1 second before he gets taken down in a hail of gunfire.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if that's the second to last thing he sees, the last thing being a bullet like going tearing through his face, he will die happy.
Right. Because he smushes his little face up against that window to see this UFO
while the
military is hunting him.
Yeah. He's like, I found it. I saw it. And he doesn't. He sees it behind a tarp. So
yeah,
And somehow he gets home. After
they just cut to him walking home. I'm like, how the fuck did he get out of there? Yeah.
What a little adventure he went on.
The military is looking for him again.
Yeah, of course they are.
Again,
he is a military fugitive. Way too much.
Yeah. There's something right before this when they arrest the Japanese assassin and they're in the field office or whatever, and Skinner walks in and tells them they have to let him go because he's a diplomat. Like, right. Skinner's like, what are you two doing here? Which, I mean, it's we kind of know this already, but like Mulder never tells Skinner what he's doing.
No, he really doesn't.
He just goes to out of state, out of country, to the Arctic Circle. Never tells anyone what he's doing.
Which is why Skinner has to do what he does in the scene after the shipyard.
Yeah.
It's a little Skinner after dark, but Mulder sees that his apartment's been broken into.
I had this note for Skinner after dark as Mulder comes in the apartment and Skinner is sitting in the dark in a corner like a fucking vampire lord.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. How many hours has he been sitting there?
Yeah. How many hours? Because that's the thing, is he had no idea when Mulder was going to come home. Mulder's been lurking around a shipyard for
a day. Mulder frequently disappears for weeks.
And this is how Mulder has to find him. He's like, I have to go to his apartment. I bring snacks. I have a bucket to piss in. And I'm just going to sit here in the dark for days until he shows up.
I have to leave a trail of sunflower seeds to his door so he'll come inside.
Yeah, it's like when a cat gets out and you're like, we just have to wait. It'll show up eventually, hopefully not pregnant. Fucking Skinner is—he knows who Mulder is. He is risking getting blown away by sitting in the dark like that, because Mulder, of course, sees his apartment's been broken into, and he just fucking takes out his gun and he's searching around, which, you know, is understandable.
Yeah, I'm amazed that gun works. He just dove into the harbor with it. Probably fucking barnacles on it. He spent all afternoon in the water.
It's probably another gun he has to turn in.
Right,
so need a new gun.
That's two guns because he has the extra one on his leg now.
Right.
Oh no, Scully, I lost two guns.
He's like, I need a replacement gun. What'd you do this time, Mulder? I jumped in the water. Yeah, you remember what we told you about jumping in the water? You don't jump in the water, Mulder. I also need my ankle gun replaced. Yeah, that's what happens.
I dove into the ocean to hide from the military.
Of course you did, Mulder.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Skinner, they talk to Skinner, and finally Mulder goes back to the office, and Scully shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out that it's been like 2 days. The last time he saw Scully, she was going to go find potential assassin victims.
Right, potentially the next target.
Yes. And Mulder's just like, oh, there you are. Like, he did not even notice she was gone. He didn't think about it.
And this is something he does a lot. And throughout this episode, first when she says she recognizes the Japanese doctor, and then when she's talking to him about, like, yeah, I met all these women who said they remembered me and they all had the same implants that I do. He's so dismissive about her weird supernatural conspiracy.
We've said this before. Mulder does not believe women.
No, he doesn't.
And this is, my God, this entire scene, I wrote down a lot of lines because it is like gaslighting 101.
Right. It's like in any other situation, he would be like so fucking rock hard for what she's saying. And then this one, he's like, well, you're just overreacting, Scully.
Yeah, he's like, I got my thing. She says, I found out, all right, I saw the victim. I found out she's dying along with a lot of other women who claim to be dying too. All of them who say they have these implanted in them, it's the same thing that I had removed from my own neck. Mulder looks at the implant and just goes, but you're fine, aren't you, Scully? And he's like, clearly doesn't want to deal with it. And he says, I don't think you should freak out until we find out what this is.
Yeah.
He says, freak out. Like, don't freak out, Scully. He so doesn't care. Yeah, and despite what you said, that this would normally be an X-Files episode, just this chip. And then he talks about, oh, I think what's going on in this train is they're making an alien-human hybrid. Scully says, Mulder, that's still a fantasy. And Mulder is shocked. And he's like, Scully, after all you've seen, after all you've told me you've seen, the tunnel filled with medical files, the beings moving past you, the implant in your neck, why do you refuse to believe? And she says, I need proof. And they keep talking. He's like, well, here's the proof, and it's a picture of a train. That's his proof.
Yeah, Scully says, well, I've got proof, and it's just an overhead photo of a train.
Yeah. Scully says, where did you get this? And he goes, from someone like you who wants proof, who's also willing to believe. So he like he throws it back in her face that she won't believe him. Like, well, I found someone who does believe. And this conversation started with Scully saying, I'm scared I have cancer.
I'm scared I have alien space cancer.
Yeah, and it ends with Mulder being like, you're such a shit, Scully. This is my thing. Like, he twists it, the entire conversation, to being about him.
Yes.
And about her wronging him.
Yep.
And shaming her. It is fucking wild.
Yeah, he's a real asshole.
He is. He's a real asshole in this scene.
Yeah, and later, too. So when he goes to the train station to try to intercept this train, first of all, I want to just point out his tactical wear. Mulder is wearing he's wearing a leather bomber jacket, like a black sweater and a gray t-shirt underneath it. He looks like the cool Little League coach at a pizza party.
Yes.
It's the lamest weekend dad costume.
Yeah, he's going to go sneak into a train yard dressed like he's bar hopping. Like, he's
right.
It's so fucking weird. I noticed that too, cuz the jacket seems to be like hurting him when he's running.
Yeah.
It's like getting in the way.
Right, and he's dressed like a minor league baseball player in the off season.
Yes,
he looks incredible.
It is. He looks banging, but it's like not the time, Mulder.
No,
he once again starts scampering across a rooftop.
Yep, just galloping in full view of all of these people.
Yeah, in broad daylight, wearing a leather jacket, like he's fucking, I don't know, Magnum PI. And I was just like, Mulder, you're going to hurt yourself up there. You're going to trip and slide down the side. Your gun's going to fly off of you.
Right. It's going to like somehow shatter into a million pieces.
Yeah. You're going to break your leg, and you're going to have to call Scully and ask her to come get you.
Well, meanwhile, all of these confused Japanese government officials will be looking over at you and trying to decide whether or not they should just execute you before anyone shows up.
it's the doc all over again. He's like, looks, he's like kind of crouched but not really, and he's so visible.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like acting so sneaky.
He's agonizingly visible.
Yeah, wearing a loose leather jacket.
Yep. It's flapping in the wind.
What the fuck, Mulder?
Like, what are you doing?
What
they are going
plan?
To shoot you.
Yeah, they're just a sniper. Just be like, yeah, I see him. He's really, really obvious.
Yeah, he's just scampering across the roof like a fucking giant pigeon. Yeah.
I'll just shoot him in the face. He'll fall down, and no one will find him because he's on a roof.
Right. It's in a secret government railroad.
Oh, man.
We could leave him there for decades.
Yeah. It's just a sky burial for Mulder.
Just let him rot into the ground. It's fine.
So he sees the train go, and he runs after it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not close to him. Like, no. I get if it was, like, close, but it's not close to him. And he gives
it's several hundred yards away.
Yeah, and he starts running, and I was like, what are you going to do, Mulder? You going to catch it? So he has to drive his car to a bridge, abandon it. That's when X sees Scully, and even X is concerned for Mulder.
Right. X is like, you have to tell Mulder not to jump on that train because he's going to die if he does. Yeah.
She's like, why?
He's not going to find anything and he's going to die.
Yeah. They don't even know that he's jumping on the top of a train.
Right.
It'd be really funny if he was like, tell him to not get on that train. Why? Because he'll slip and fall. Like, are there agents there? Like, no, he'll slip and fall. It's really dumb. Just tell him not to jump on a train. But she calls him and goes, Mulder, don't get on that train. And he goes, why not? He's now standing on a bridge over the train. Scully says, because they know where you are and know where you're going, what you're doing. And Mulder gets pissed and just goes, who told you that? And she goes, look, Mulder, it's too dangerous. Who told you, Scully? He's just, he goes from 0 to 60 here. And then she's like, let it go. And he goes, I can't. And then he jumps on a train.
He jumps on a train with his cell phone still. Like, he doesn't even put his phone in his pocket. So he's still trying to catch this train with one hand.
Yep. He jumps from a bridge onto the top of a train, loses his cell phone like it were, I don't know, a gun.
Yeah.
And it just slides away. And he looks. He knows he fucked up. The moment he lands on the train, he knows he fucked up.
Right. He immediately realizes how terrible of a decision this was.
And if Scully actually knew how, it would have been so funny if he was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump on the train. She's like, wait, you're jumping on the train? It's like, it's just getting on the train alone is dangerous. The fact of how he's doing it is suicidal.
Right. It really puts it over the top.
Yeah. It is.
There might be aliens in there.
It's what we talked about when he goes to the antenna and the satellite in Puerto Rico, where he doesn't have an exit strategy. Mulder doesn't have exit strategies.
Nope.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
What is he going to do?
He's stranded himself in the Arctic. He will do that more than once.
Yeah. This is where it goes to be continued. The dramatic tension filled to be continued comes from Mulder just doing something dumb.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's the tension. Is he going to die doing
a drunk teenager would do?
Yeah. Just Mulder deciding to train hop.
Man.
Yeah, that's all I have for Mulder After Dark.
Same.
There's a lot.
There was a real litany of offenses in this episode.
Let's talk about some fireable offenses.
He steals evidence and causes an international incident.
Yeah, he sure does that.
Yeah, because the Japanese government specifically asks for that briefcase, and Skinner's like, it wasn't logged into evidence, and Mulder's like, Scully has it.
Yeah, he throws Scully under the bus.
Yep.
He doesn't just steal the evidence. He steals it in the parking lot of a police station, like, swarmed, like, surrounded by cops. Mm-hmm. So you know there's people watching. Like, he's not at all subtle.
No.
He's just like, check out what I got, Scully, and takes out the suitcase and opens it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Go to a hotel, Mulder.
Don't do it in the parking lot, you dick. You then ass.
He 100% throws Scully under the bus for that.
Yep, sure does.
Yeah. He also breaks into a naval shipyard.
Yep.
And the SWAT is called on him. And he is, in fact, you know, being a criminal.
Right.
He's
so
breaking the law.
Right. In this episode, he commits both an international and a federal crime.
He sure does. He's on a spree in this one.
He really, it's a frenzy. It's another Mulder rampage.
Yes, it is. He's so fixated on an alien autopsy tape.
Yeah, that he bought from a magazine.
Yep. That he is going to do. He basically, the congressman, like, tells him, like, do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he just blindly does it to such passion that he's jumping on a train.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does see an alien too.
Yeah, 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 he sees an alien. But
up until that point, he's just following this guy. Who, like we talked about this, Mulder could be so easily tricked.
Oh, yeah.
He's like that new movie, that upcoming movie, Bloodshot. Like, if you told him that someone was an alien, you could just have him assassinate people for you.
Right.
Like, it's an alien in disguise. Go get him, Mulder. And he just go murder them.
Right. Screaming, it's, yeah, it's my like sister. Memento. Yeah, he just keeps telling him they took your sister.
Mm-hmm. It's that guy.
So that, yeah, that leads pretty well into Name the Enabler.
Yeah.
which is the senator, Senator Matheson.
Yeah, 100%. I would say Skinner has a probably
right,
Skinner
he looks the other way on him fucking stealing evidence and just doing whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, Skinner says, I hope you have other names in the phone book because I'm taking myself off the hook on this one. Which, yeah. I was thinking, like, yeah, not your best one, Skinner.
Yeah.
You've had some good ones, but that wasn't a good line.
No.
So he cuts Mulder loose. He's just like, you know, he shows up. He's like a angry wife waiting for her husband. Like, it's that. It's an angry spouse. He is like sitting in the dark, just like, what? Where have you been? And he's just like, look, I'm washing my hands of you. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
And then the senator is just like, go get him, Mulder.
Here's a picture of a train. Go find the aliens, yeah. Mulder.
And X is the only one who shows up like, hey, we need to stop this.
Yeah. He's going to get murdered in a train explosion. You need to call him back.
It's funny that all of his like higher up sources are all stepping in. And this one trying to like.
Right. It's an intervention.
Like, weighing in on it. Yeah. But yeah, the senator, 100%.
Yeah.
Or at least 95%. I'll give Skinner the other 5%.
Skinner's another 5% by just like not even
not doing, engaging.
Not even minimally requiring Mulder to do his actual job.
Right. But I understand because Skinner's probably like, look, I have so much to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my back on this one. I'm going to look the other way. I don't know what the fuck you're up to. I hope you still have your guns because we're not giving you any new guns this week.
Yeah. You're already well over your annual limit here.
Yeah.
For gun replacements.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. I think it's time for Crazy Like a Fox.
Crazy Like a Fox. Folks, this is where we assign a numerical rating from 1 to 10 on Mulder's behavior, just how out of control it is in the episode. 1 being he jumps on zero trains, a 10 being he abandons his car and jumps 10 to 20 feet onto a moving train.
Yep.
And immediately drops his phone and probably his gun.
Yeah.
because a senator gave him a picture of a train.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
This is at least an 8.
I 8 or 9.
I'm gonna say probably a 9, right?
Yeah.
I wrote eight or nine,
but man.
He leaps on a moving train. Because of aliens.
He flees from the military. He steals evidence. He steals evidence from the Japanese government.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a 9.
It's a 9. He's pretty out of control in this episode.
It needs to be stopped.
It's all based on a fucking alien autopsy video he ordered from a magazine.
Yep.
Where you don't even see an alien.
Yep. I hope that magazine feels pretty good about itself.
Right. He spent $30 on an alien autopsy video, and then 48 hours later, he's jumping onto a moving train.
Yep. That's how it goes. And then this will not end well. And by the end, he's just even more. Boy, this episode escalates. I know why they made it a two-parter.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we can't do all of this in one fucking episode. Man, it's going to get. We haven't even talked about the assassin that we see.
Yeah.
The, like, sort of Lance Hendrickson guy?
Yeah, Stephen McHattie.
Ah.
He's in Watchmen. He's also in that movie, Come to Daddy.
He is in Watchmen and Come to Daddy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very good. And, you know, he's in this. We've set him up. It's going to be Mulder versus him in the next one. We get to see how Mulder deals with that.
Yeah, Mulder versus this guy in a bomb train.
Yeah.
Yep.
What a fucking show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
what a glorious program.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sode, you guys.
Yeah, I think that's a sode. I think that's a frosty sode.
That's a nice frothy sode.
Yeah, drink it up.
Mm-hmm, guzzle that shit down.
Yeah, folks, this is normally a show exclusive to Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a free one. If you're interested in listening to other episodes or episodes of our other exclusive show, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, you can go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have other tiers there. We have all sorts of stuff. We watch movies with our patrons every Friday. There's a tier where you can make us watch movies that you want us to watch. It's wacky over there. Mm-hmm. The possibilities are endless. Check it out.
It's really just a kaleidoscope of options.
Yeah.
For you to make us do things.
Yeah, make us do things.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, stickers, posters, all kinds of stuff. We have a few pieces of Mulder merchandise in there.
Yeah,
actually.
We do.
So check that out, and also leave us a review.
Yeah.
Wherever you happen to be listening to this, it really helps us out. So
we like them
you.
Reviews.
Yeah, we eat them up.
We do, the way Mulder burns through his fucking guns.
Scully, I lost both of my guns. Scully, can I borrow your gun?
I also lost my wallet. That was unrelated. I tripped on the sidewalk, fell in a storm. He probably, he at least once tripped and his gun just rolled into a storm drain.
Yep.
It's like, stupid coat. Why do I wear this? Why do I wear this Dracula cape?
He lost one gun because it fell into the mean neighbor's yard.
With the scary dog.
Yeah, scary dog.
All right.
Bye,
everybody.
Have a good Mulder Day, everyone.
Yeah, happy Mulder.
Happy Mulder Day, the day of Mulder.
Artwork for Fox Mulder is a Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. Follow her on Twitter at StarleneX. That's Starlene with an X. Or check out her delightful webcomic at RubyWhipple.com.